And this week's been the BA Festival of Science, as we said, and so we sent Meera Senthilingam out to find some of the highlights, and she discovered how automatic door technology can help people with disabilities discover their musical potential, and also a way to immerse yourself in pure colour. But first, she spoke to John Dury from the University of Sussex, who's looked into the behaviour of people caught in the 2005 London bombings to try and understand the psychology behind crowd control and mass evacuation.
I gathered data from 145 people, most of whom were actually caught up in the explosions. I was interested in whether their behaviour was selfish and competitive or cooperative, because there's an assumption that people in emergencies tend to panic, or if they don't panic, that they simply look after family members. So first of all, I looked at their behaviours, and I found that selfish and competitive behaviour was extremely rare. On the other hand, mutual help was extremely common. My second question was, who were they with? And as you might know, most of the people on those trains were commuters. Therefore, most of the people helping each other were with strangers. People were helping strangers. My third question then was to ask, well, what was the process behind this helping of strangers? And they contrasted this with the kind of experience which you have every day on the London Underground, where people feel atomised. And so it was this sense of unity arising from the danger itself that brought people together that explained their helping behaviour.
What were your overall conclusions from this?
First of all, that the idea of panic is a myth. Secondly, that the authorities should make provision for people's willingness to provide help to each other. The public tend to be excluded from emergencies. And thirdly, that the authorities, rather than treating people as irrational and over-emotional, should try to give more information to the public on what's happening during emergencies.
And you say that communication should be improved. Why should communication, and how do you think it can be improved?
Well, there is evidence, from not just from my study, but from other experimental studies, that when you give people more information about the nature of the danger, the location of the danger, people exit more effectively, because the assumption is that the more information you give people, the more they panic. But that's not actually true. So you should have tannoy systems in place which tell people the location and the nature of the danger so they can act upon it.
Do you think we should all promote actually having contact with each other in normal circumstances?
There is some lesson about everyday life here as well, because when you go on the tube, some of my people did draw a nice contrast between how people avoid each other's eyes. And I think the authorities and those in control of public spaces can do something about this by addressing people increasingly in terms of their collective identity. And in that way, they can encourage more helping, cooperative and altruistic behaviour than we get in everyday life at the moment.
So that was music played purely by the use of sensors. I'm here with David, who's going to explain to me how that's possible. Hello, David.
Hello. Yes, I've been working with some children from the Applefield Special Needs School in York, and the idea of the project is that it gives access to children who won't normally get access to keyboards and so on for the reason of their disabilities, and allows them to play music on the computer. The computer is a kind of software sampler, and then they control the playback with sensors. Now, these are things like infrared distance sensors. So it's the sort of thing that when you go into the supermarket, the doors open automatically. You know, there's something there that detects your movement. We've got distance sensors, we've got sensors which you can tilt to move around, and also pressure sensors.
There was something that resembled a cymbal, but the children just kind of kept their hands hovering over it, so that's a distance sensor,
is it? That's the distance sensor, yeah. It sends out a little infrared beam, and then movement in front of it bounces back. The sensor detects the distance, and then there's software inside the computer that translate that into control information for the sample playback. They can control the part of the sound that's playing back, and also the pitch of the sound.
Well, I mean, that was a very impressive result, so I hope the children are happy.
And there's some definite future stars among them, I think.
I've just arrived on Parliament Street, and glaring me in the face is a huge, multicoloured, multi-pathed, inflated dome. So I've just come inside the dome, and it's really quite surreal. There's paths going in quite a few directions, and the colours are just really vibrant. All the paths are lined with kind of bright blue and bright red. I'm here with Paul, who's going to explain how they managed to get this effect. Hi, Paul.
Hello. You said that it's very vibrant in here. In fact, it is relatively dark in here compared to outside. The only light in here is from sunlight that comes through the plastic, is filtered into the structure. And red, green and blue are used specifically because they're the primary colours of light. So they're the colours that we pick up in our eyes. All the other colours that you see, by the way, are a combination of those three. While it's relatively dark in here, you're nevertheless getting more or less 100% of the red, blue and green from the sun separated into those three. And your eyes are at the same time dilated in order to receive more light because you're aware that it's actually fairly dark in here. So your eyes are adjusted to receive as much light as possible, and you're still getting independently 100% of the three primaries, which is what gives it that effect of being very bright and vibrant.
I've just managed to bump into Helen. Hello, Helen.
Hello.
This is all part of the BA Festival of Science. Did you know that was going on?
I actually didn't know, no. I come into town and I find all these interesting things going on in town. And actually, for something to be different as well, because normally it's fruit and veg, flowers, you know, food, and see something to do with science is really, really interesting.
Well, that's it from me. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the best of the fest.
And that was our naked scientist, Meera Senthilingam, with her own personal highlights of the 2007 BA Festival of Science. So it's good to know that the very people who avoid your gaze and sort of be grumpy on your daily commute would actually rush to your aid in case of emergency.
And this is the naked scientist with Dr. Chris and Dr. Kat. Got an email here from Randy Henderson, who says, just want to let you know I really appreciate your show. I download you and listen to you on the internet while I'm taking my daily walks up and down the hills of my neighbourhood. And thanks to the naked scientist, I'm now £20 lighter.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. So there's a lesson in that for everyone, isn't there?